Welcome to the Land Investing Business Secret Podcast, where each short episode, we talk about the strategies, experiences, and the tools to help you launch, grow, and scale your land business. Learn how to find freedom within your own business, find out ways to build consistency in your processes, and hear how other everyday land investors are winning so you can get to the next step closer to building your dream life through your land business. And I'm your host of the Land Investing Business Secrets Podcast by Pebble, Jesse Kwong. Hey, how's it going? It's Jesse here of the Land Investing Business Secrets Podcast. I've got an old guest, a good friend of mine. I got to hang out with him just recently again, and Pete Nukasani. I have him here share about what he's been up to and how he's staying focused with his business. There's a lot of cool things happening in land right now, but it's really inspiring to hear how Pete really stays focused on what works with his business when it comes to land. I think you're going to get a ton of inspiration out of this, and there's going to be a bit of a perspective change on certain things that land investors just don't do, like building sort of their media following. And so Pete is fantastic at that. I hope you guys are going to get a ton out of this episode here with Pete. Enjoy this episode. Cheers. All right. How's it going, everybody? I've got my friend here, Peter Nukasani. Pete, how you doing?
Wonderful, Jesse. Silencing my phone so it doesn't make any noises.
Pete, it's been almost 2 years. Can you believe that? Since you first came on the podcast. That was back in 2022. If you guys haven't heard the episode on what Pete was doing back at that time, that was episode 63 and 66. I had him on twice. And we recently got to connect and hang out a little bit more when we were out in St. Louis together. That was good times out there. And Pete, I just wanted to bring you on here. I know you're a really active land investor. You get involved with a lot and you're in the community. We just want to know, what have you been up to recently with your land? What are you doing differently since I've last had you on? Which is, you know, quite a while ago now. I'm sure things have changed quite a bit. But first of all, how are you doing, Pete?
Wonderful, man. I'm excited that we're able to catch up and make this happen like we planned on it.
Yeah. So, Pete, what are you currently trying right now in your land business? Let's take it a step back. Why don't you explain to us what you were up to when you first, I guess, got started, and what does land look like for you now, so people have some context of how things have changed?
Sure. Yeah, Jesse. So, you know, last time I was on, I think that was about two years ago. And at that time, the only thing that we were really focused on, which we're still doing now, is we were focused on buying like those super cheap parcels of land. Some people call it Red Ocean or Desert Squares or whatever. So that's how we got our start. We were buying those primarily from other land investors, and we still do. And, you know, we never sent any mail. I tried mail once, and it epically, you know, and it was totally my fault for not having the right setup to deal with it. But yeah, we were just buying from land investors at that time. And the only disposition method, or whatever you call it, was we would be selling it on owner financing to retail customers, and we were buying it and then we were selling it for, like, you know, $50 a month or $100 a month. And we can go into, you know, how that worked and then what I would do differently and all that. But that's all we did. Then we started, just like how we were buying land, you know, from other land investors, we started selling land to land investors. So we started wholesaling a little bit, and that took off in a really big way. So that became a different arm to our business. You know, and then recently I've kind of had that shiny object syndrome, or whatever you call it. And I started trying, you know, or looking into, like, okay, you know, you hear about all these huge deals, like buy for 400,000 and sell for 700,000 and like subdivides and all this, you know, there's so many different things in this business and it's wonderful. So, you know, I was doing a little bit of that shiny object syndrome recently, or whatever you call it, and getting distracted. But now where we're at is we're transitioning a little bit in our owner financing retail business, and I can explain that. And we're keeping that wholesale business going because it's doing really well. And that's actually what held us through, you know, when we first talked, like Jesse, I think after that is when the market really picked up because of the stimulus money and all that.
Yes.
And we were crushing it. I think we were selling a piece of land, one parcel a day on owner financing. Wow. So in 30 days, we booked 30 different notes.
Wow.
You know, so wholesale actually kept the ball rolling when we started seeing a slowdown, you know, like recently. So
can you, for those who don't know exactly what does wholesaling land mean and what does it mean for your business model? Can you kind of walk us through that process?
Sure. Yeah. So wholesale, it's used in many different ways. Some people think it's contract assignments or whatever, in which it is. But what we do is we actually, let's say a piece of land sells for $5,000 retail, right? So our traditional business would be to buy it for like $1,800 to $2,000 ourselves, and then sell it for $5,000 cash or $8,000 on terms. What wholesale is you just flip that. You know, when you buy it for $1,800 or $2,000, you put a little premium on it and you maybe sell for $2,500. So you book like a 25% quick margin immediately, and you're often not, you know, selling one parcel. So we actually have parcel minimums. So you're like, okay, three parcels or four parcels just to get people going. But then we have clients and, you know, customers who buy like 40 or 50 parcels at a time to buy for their land business. So, you know, one, it's not like a crazy margin. 25% sounds great for other businesses, but in land, people are used to doubling and things like that, but it's a mix and a balance of both.
So when you're sort of focused more on wholesaling, I'm assuming then you can just sort of move at a much more rapid pace and offload things. Your deal cycle is probably a lot shorter than most people. And you're typically selling in bulk to an investor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we buy from investors and then we sell to investors as well. But, you know, right now, retail is a priority again because it's picking up. And especially with how we're like our buy box on retail has changed from when we started.
What does that mean, your buy box on retail has changed?
Yeah. So when I started, you know, we were buying, you know, land that was, you know, quarter acre somewhere, and it doesn't matter where, or, you know, the access was kind of questionable and it's, you know, things like that. We weren't really super strict on the due diligence period the due diligence, but now we're looking to buy land that someone can get to in a Prius. Or, you know, just like the common person that just wants to own a piece of land, they can drive to it. And, you know, maybe something an acre and above that doesn't have very high holding costs. So, you know, avoiding things like really expensive HOAs, we still buy things in HOAs. And I think some HOAs are great, but we're avoiding things that have really high holding costs. And something that people can easily get to and an acre and above.
So typically when you're looking at about an acre and above properties, what is your typical sort of purchase price on these properties then?
Yeah, so I made a goal this year to add, from our existing note portfolio to add another 100 notes this year. And we would like it to be about $299 minimum note per month. So adding 100 notes this year would, you know, add about $30,000 a month in recurring revenue or MRR, monthly recurring revenue. And so that's our goal for this year. And I made a bunch of different goals, but right now the only thing on my mind as far as like the land business is buying 100 parcels that can be sold for 300 plus per month, and just, you know, selling it.
How long are the terms typically for? About $300 a month?
Yeah, it's about like a car payment. I've noticed that usually works the best. So it's anywhere between 3 years to 7 years. Most of them being about right in the middle at 5 years.
So Pete, why do you like sort of the whole wholesaling model and seller financing as well? What attracts you about it?
You know, that's interesting because I'll start with the owner financing thing first, because I think a lot of us are probably familiar with the owner financing thing. Yeah. So I was looking at, you know, now creating a plan. You know, you have your business, it's producing, but what is the plan for money after you make it, right? And I was researching like dividends and the stock market and staking crypto and things like that. And what's crazy is I think to generate $100 a month in dividend income through the stock market, I think on average, you have to have invested like 30 grand, I think, to get $100 a month in dividends, you got to have about $30,000 or something close to that. It was a crazy number. So $100 a month, so it's $1,200 a year in dividend income, and you divide that by 30 grand, so that's like a 3.5% dividend yield. So for me to generate $100 a month, it takes $30,000. But in land, I can go buy a 5-acre parcel in Costilla County from a land investor off Facebook groups for $2,000, and I can generate $250 a month. Yeah. Yes, dividend income lasts forever, kind of theoretically, and notes do have an expiration date. But I mean, if you add, let's just say, you know, two notes a month, so 24 notes, you could do nothing for the next year and then pick it up on year three, and you're always kind of renewing that cycle. And honestly, I just don't see a better, like an easier way. You know, I was kind of, you know, always thinking about rentals and all that stuff. But then the average multifamily investor or rentals or whatever, after all your expenses, you might only net $300-$400 a month per unit. And you have to buy a $350,000 rental property, down payments and all that great stuff. So it just seems like this is I'm sure there's other ways to do it, but for me, what I know, the owner financing on land seems like the way to build the passive, not passive income, but like somewhat, mm-hmm. some income stream.
Yeah.
And that's really attractive.
What about on the wholesaling front of things?
So wholesaling is honestly like we do it. It's not the most profitable thing to do, because, you know, you always get negotiated on margin from other investors on the buy side and the sell side, and you kind of get squeezed. But when you do enough volume and you move it quickly, it helps you kind of tighten your cash flow cycles. So if you want to get liquidated very quickly, waiting for a property to sell for 6 months, you know, is mm-hmm. great, but you know, you also want to keep that cash flow coming in. Mm-hmm. So we do wholesale only so that we can buy more retail deals.
Gotcha. You mentioned earlier, Pete, that you kind of regarded like subdividing and all this stuff as a bit of a shiny ball syndrome thing that you kind of went through. Why did you look at it that way? And are you no longer sort of looking at subdividing anymore or other sort of, I guess you call it shiny objects out there with land, and you're staying focused with what you're doing? Is that what's going on? Like, walk us through what was going on in your head with that and as you were kind of going through that process.
You know, I think like any of those models will work and can work, right? And the thing is, like, I can't quit our current business and drop everything we're doing and not adding notes to go chase, you know, buying a $200,000 subdivide at this current stage that we're at. So it doesn't, like, I'm not stopping it. I still have a goal to do one subdivide this year. So I'm going to continue looking for that. But, you know, before I was spending like a ton of time all day just focused on that one goal instead of, you know, going at what works and just growing that at a consistent rate. So now I'm thinking, okay, I still need to work on our existing business and can't just delegate everything to the team and say, figure it out and have fun, right? Like, so I want to keep our existing business going, and, you know, just spend a little bit of time on both, right? Our current thing of what's producing income, and then the second thing of, okay, can we add different arms?
Right. It's interesting that you call it a shiny ball syndrome. I mean, it is, there has been a sort of, I guess, more buzz around things like subdividing. Was it hard for you to like say, hey, you know what? We got to go back to focus on what works and this works, while you sort of see other people do, you know, larger subdivisions. Was that hard for you, like, mentally to kind of stay focused? Because, I mean, comparing sometimes can be a real thing.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of why I started doing it in the first place. but you know, I mean, any model can work, right? There's people that do subdivides that do way better than how we're doing. But with that said, too, there's also, was it hard? No, I just think it was just an important conversation for me to have, right? Because I made like five enormous goals for the, you know, for the business this year on the work side. And then I was like, hey, okay, what's one thing on here that will pretty much solve the other issues that you know, what's the one thing, if I only had to pick one goal, what would kind of be more aligned with what I'm looking for, you know, for the, what this business can do for me, right?
Right.
So I realized if I just add those 100 deals, I'll hit our numbers and that will do more than enough for me, you know, for my business to serve me how I would like it to.
Right. You mentioned you've got five goals.
Yeah.
For this year. Are you open to sharing that? I mean, this is specifically with the business itself.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm looking at it right now. It's I call it my next, so I read this book called Your Next Five Moves. Well, I read the first couple chapters and I kind of got the picture. I mean, the book, it was by Patrick Bet-David, and the book was about, you know, knowing your next five moves, like in chess and all that. So
does he talk about it within a year time frame, or what?
You know, honestly, I didn't get too that deep into the book, but for me, what really served me was to think, you know, to know my next five moves. And that's what I took from that book. So I have it right there on the wall in front of me. And so the first goal was to get to $50,000 a month in recurring income with notes. And if we stick to that 100 note thing, we'll hit that goal. The second thing was to do like 20 large cash flips or wholesale assignments. And again, shiny object. And then the third goal was to do one subdivide deal. And then the fourth goal was, is to transition upward at the inventory on the retail side. And then number five was to keep building our media, like, you know, doing 12 podcasts this year, grow our TikTok page and YouTube page. So I pretty much put sticky notes on all the other three. And the main goal for this year is to get to that 50K a month with notes. You know, the secondary goal is to keep building our media. So like do more podcasts and then try to grow our YouTube and TikTok.
You know, you're one of those firm believers, and I'm taking this in sort of what we just mentioned here, and I'm just going to roll with it, but you are a firm believer and of TikTok. I know you're one that uses TikTok quite a bit, and I think you came on to an earlier show talking about marketing on TikTok. And again, I think that's episode 66. So if you guys are interested in Pete talking about this, but how is TikTok working out? I mean, I told you when I met you in person, I got banned twice on TikTok. And I think you explained to me the reasons, and we're trying to start back up. But we've got plans to kind of relaunch that. But how's TikTok? You know, what do you find works with TikTok? Who should be using TikTok in land?
So first thing, I'll caveat this by saying, I think it works better for certain business, some businesses rather than others, but it can be used, right? So let's say that your business is to send mail and to buy from sellers. Well, if you have a huge social media following or a decent social media following, you can be like, hey, check this out. This is our TikTok page. And it just completely, you know, you can use that. You can even put that on your mailers so people can watch your YouTube and your TikTok thing before, you know, that way they'll know you're a real person. Yeah. So that can just be used like that. If you're selling like a $10 million ranch or like a $15 million ranch, maybe your buyer pool is pretty select and you got to think about if they're on TikTok, and maybe they are. But for our business, selling $200 to, you know, $300 a month payments on some 5-acre camping land, it has tend to work out. And I can go a little bit more into it too.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So yeah, the one thing I will say is the volume of, you know, your content, how much you produce really matters. And you know, we didn't start seeing any results until I think we were at least 100 or 150 videos posted. And I think now I'm not exactly sure how many we've posted videos, but I think we have about 700 videos that have been posted. And our strategy was just to kind of do like 3 to 4 videos per day. So we were super aggressive on it. You know, and
I'm assuming you're aggressive on it because you found that it worked.
Yes. So once we started getting some traction, I was like, there's no way I'm letting this thing go. So I kept doubling down on it. And, you know, recently, though, I haven't been that active on there. And that's why I made it a goal to get more active on there, you know, because it takes a lot of work and it's hard for me to find someone that will produce content in the same way.
You're the one producing the content is what you're saying.
Right. Like it's literally, some of the videos are me talking into the camera. Right. So it just takes some commitment and time. And so that's why I have kind of been slacking and being lazy about it.
Well, Pete, I took your advice when we were out in St. Louis and we were talking about video and filming and how, disruptive sometimes it can be. Like I would film content like every week. I'd have to plan it on the weekend. So I took your advice. I blocked out a full day and just knocked out a month's worth of content. So I'm gonna feed you back.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome! Look at you. That's great that you executed on that.
It was tough. It was tough just to figure out to kind of. I never did. I'm the type of person that'll just. I like to work in small chunks, not like sit down and, but it made it so much easier. I don't need to worry for the next 4 weeks. I don't do as much video content as you, but still like it allowed me to just knock it out. So I didn't need to think about for the month. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And for those of you guys who are creating content and maybe you're exploring platforms, like TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, YouTube, whatever, take Pete's advice. Anyways, cool. Thanks. Hey, I wanna switch gears here. I know we're jumping all over the place. And again, a couple more things. There's one thing I really want to talk about, but one more thing here. What are you currently experimenting? I know you called it shiny ball syndrome, but I call that, you know, you've got to have some space for R&D and experiment with different things. Is there anything you're currently trying and any lessons you've learned from it recently?
You know, so I think when we like first started, that's what all I was doing. I've messed around with like Reddit ads. I've messed around with Twitter stuff. I totally agree. I think having that like innovation culture and like trying to like find new things is absolutely is, you know, it's paramount, right? Because if we didn't do that, and it is, and it's no diss on Subdivides or anything like that, they totally, there's people knocking it out of the park. It's just that if that's going to be your thing, that's got to be your thing. You know, and it's kind of like that burn your boats approach or whatever. But with that said, what are we playing around with now? I think right now it's, we just, I'm just trying to double down again on what we've identified is working, which is, you know, because if I realized that if I didn't have note income, we wouldn't have grown our portfolio of land. So if I removed that from the equation, I wouldn't even be able to look at buying a Subdivide right now. So, you know, because we've experimented for the last few years and now we've kind of, we found our stride. So I think just doubling down on that, you know, so maybe right now I want to experiment with different types of TikTok content. Right. So we've identified TikTok works. How can we innovate within that? So we're going to try different types of content. So that's what we're going to try. And then also, you know, with YouTube, YouTube's a new undertaking. We haven't, we weren't really too big on YouTube. But I, you know, I've been thinking about maybe, doing some interviews on our YouTube channel and, you know, stuff like that on the personal side, like the personal branding side.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about sort of, I haven't had anybody else come on here about talking about media and experimenting with such things. I'm sure there's going to be really interesting for a lot of people to hear that you're, you know, you've got the land side of things down. Now you're working on the extensions out of the business through your media. So, by the way, Pete, how can people find you, on TikTok? I think it's, I think they should look this up and see what you're doing and maybe they can even engage with you, but what's the TikTok handle there?
It's at the land investor.
The land investor. Okay. That's awesome. All right. I'm going to switch gears right now. I want to talk about, I know you've been passionate about this since the beginning when I first met you a few years ago, doing events and being at events. Well, first of all, you're running an event end of June. That's the 28th and 29th. So if you're hearing this before June 28th, 29th of 2024, you're doing an event out in Golden, Colorado. You're doing it with that, with your friend, Andrew Haney. And I know there's a, you know, a bunch of people coming out to speak on that. Why do you like running events and being part of events and doing such things like this? Because again, I remember our first early chats. You were, Jesse, let's do something. And I know you wanted to organize something. What makes you so driven to put these things together?
Yeah. So I'll speak on attending events first and then I can go into like that, the event that we're doing or we're putting on. It's really interesting. So when we started wholesaling land to other land investors, we started sending a bunch of cold emails. And one of the cold emails that came back, you know, that someone replied to, it was Drew. So that is how I've actually met Drew.
Wow.
And he replied to a cold email and then he goes, "Hey, you're in Chicago. I'm going to be here on this date," because he's actually originally located close by. And he's like, "You want to meet?" And I was like, "Who's this guy?" Like, you know, it's just because it was just an email. And then, he, you know, so anyway, started talking over the phone and then we set up a time to meet. This is a long story, but I think it's a very cool story. I might be biased, but started with this cold email. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to be here." And Drew was trying to purchase land from us at that time for the land of the free business. So that's how we kind of met. We met in person. like one or two times, and you know, we went to get food, and then a few weeks go by later, and then he's like, hey, I'm going, you know, he said, I'm gonna go for the weekend with these two other land guys to his parents' like lake house in Wisconsin. Would you like to come along? And I was like, it's a 6-hour drive. Do I, you know, I was still like on the fence. But then I'm so glad that weekend, you know, I was like, yes, let's go. And then I show up to this lake house with, you know, two other guys that I've never met, but I've heard about. And then Drew, which I've met two times. you know, and we were, you know, it was like, it wasn't like a big city or nothing. It was like right on the lake, and it was kind of, I don't know. But anyway, so that weekend, it was amazing. We became really, really close in a matter of a few days. And yeah, it was by, you know, the day three, we were, all of our guards were down, and we became really good friends. We talk almost on a daily, or at least every 2 days, we're in a group chat. We all text. And the other two people that came was Ajay Sharma and Jaron Barnes. And we're all like, you know, so after that, I became a believer in events, mm-hmm. because, you know, I've, for the majority of the other businesses that I've tried and all this stuff, I didn't really have a tribe and a community. And it's really tough. Like, so all of you that are listening to this, first of all, like, what we do is very hard, and so you should commend yourself on even taking this path, right? And it was just really nice to have other people to talk to, and kind of have friends that you're on the same page with, right? Because other friends you can have certain other conversations with, but you know, this group of friends, they understand me, and we're all going through that same fight, and we can share, you know, in our victories and our losses together, and they'll understand it.
Hey, how's it going? I hope you're enjoying this episode here with Pete. And he talks about, you know, the aspect of a community, the importance of having a tribe. And you've heard probably me talk about this before, but I run something called the Dirt Hacker Challenge. And that's exactly one of the things that we try to build in that challenge across a few days. And it's something I call what's caught, not taught. And that's one of the things that we do. It's called our wisdom circles, where we sort of share what's working, what isn't, and it allows you to connect with others. I know that a lot of people have connected and formed many groups that are now, you know, they're the accountable groups. They come from all different sort of coaching backgrounds that they would have never, ever crossed paths before, unless maybe they're, you know, doing a deal together. And it's such a great place to meet others. It's something I call the Dirt Hacker Challenge. I run this every month. It's a few days with me, and we're spending the time learning how to actually build a sustainable and scalable business. It comes down to processes, systems, yes, a little bit of technology and people. How does that all tie together to really build a sustainable business? If you're looking to, you know, transition out of a W-2, if you're looking for a side income, whatever it is, whatever your goals are with land, you want to continue to do it and find some level of freedom, you need to be joining this Dirt Hacker Challenge. I made this thing as accessible as possible. So head over to dirthackerchallenge.com. Join the next challenge coming up. Everything gets communicated in a Facebook group. You're going to meet a handful of other land investors. You're going to be able to connect with them in that group. And who knows, you may be forming your own tribe or your own group because of this challenge. The more that you expose yourself to meeting others, connecting with others, as you're going to hear in this episode here with Pete and the events that he's putting on and he's traveling to, you know, it's only going to better you and your business, your growth, and really everything to do with your business. So anyways, head over to dirthackerchallenge.com. I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode here with Pete. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that story, I feel like it is, I don't know if you know, maybe it's just me because I get to talk to all you guys,
Yeah.
But I've heard this story now from different angles, and I feel like it was such an impactful moment for all four of you guys. I know this happened a while ago, and like I said, I've heard this between the four of you guys, and I feel like, wow, that must have been a really, really powerful moment, because I feel like a lot spurred out of that. I've seen you guys kind of collaborate, do different things, and a lot of things spun out of just the four of you guys. But anyways, thanks for sharing that story and really how that impacted you and what came out of that. And so you're doing this supercars and land investing live event. What can people expect at this event? I know I'll definitely be there. There's a lot of people who are going to be there. And I want to encourage the listeners here to come out. I think you guys have really, really good intentions with this event. But yeah, tell us a little bit about it, Pete, and what can people sort of expect?
Yes. So, yeah, and I'd also like to share another thing on events after I'm done sharing about the Supercars and Land Investing event. So the Supercars and Land Investing event, it is a two-day event in Denver, Colorado. It's 15 minutes. Well, it's technically in Golden, which is a suburb of Denver. So you're about 20 minutes from the airport. It is a two-day event, and the first day is going to be all speakers and, you know, connecting with other land investors and just meeting people and talking. And the second day, which we haven't really fully advertised this yet, is the saunas. So we're going to have a mobile sauna company come out. So you're going to be able to do sauna sessions and cold plunges, whatever you call it, with land investors. And then after you're done with that, we rented a full fleet of supercars. So there's like Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and all that wonderful stuff. And you'll be going on a 15-mile tour where you can drive if you have your full coverage auto insurance. And you'll be doing a 15-mile tour through the mountains. And the venue and the host is Oxotic Supercar Experience. So that's where the event will be taking place. And also, they're the people that provide the supercars. And that's like their thing. So we're just doing an event there. But the whole idea that we're not going to be selling anything at the event at all is just come hang out, have a good time, and connect with people.
Yeah. I certainly encourage a lot of you guys that are listening to come through to this. If you want more information, I'll leave it in the show notes. And Pete, I know you want to talk about something about events, but I'm going to shamelessly plug this in. Milkhoney.land. I have no idea what milk honey refers to. Maybe there's something about it that I'm missing, but It's a little bit blurry. I can't really see.
Oh, yes. So this says abundance. So that's what the milk and honey is, a story from the Bible. It's about finding your land of milk and honey, which signifies abundance. So it's about creating abundance in your life and everybody else's life that you get into touch with.
Got you. So that's milkhoney.land. And if you use the promo code, I've never done this before on any recording, Jesse. That's capital J-E-S-S-E-Y. There is a discount that comes with that as well. I don't know if you wanted me to plug that in there, but I'm going to go ahead and plug it in myself.
Absolutely.
But Pete, what else did you want to talk about? I do have a question about events in general. Okay. But I want you to sort of, you had something you wanted to share about events.
I can hold on to that. So if you want to ask your question, I'll probably, you know, answer that and then tie it in.
Yeah. I think a lot of people like me are intimidated to come out to these kind of things. How does one make the most out of an event if they're not fully comfortable in their, you know, they might be starting out, they might not know as much, they might feel intimidated, they might just be an introvert like I am. How would they sort of get the most at an event like this?
Yeah, well, I am still intimidated. So the thing is, I totally get that. And sometimes I totally do still feel that. And I do. But, you know, sometimes just taking the plunge, you'll start meeting people that you know, this business and this little industry, so cool. Like, 99% of, I don't know if this is a proven statistic, but in what I've heard and my experience is like 99% of the people that you meet are actually really cool. They're trying to build their land business. They're actually cool people. And, you know, I would say the only way to get over that is just pick a event that is easy and accessible to you. And I can talk about a few travel hacks if that helps later. And, you know, so yeah, just pick a event and dive right into it. And just show up. And I can't say I would guarantee it, but I would strongly bet that that's going to be a great experience. And, you know, I would bet very strongly that if you can take that leap and just go to a event, it doesn't have to be the Milk and Honey one. It can be any land event that works best for, you know, for you. Give it a shot. And I bet you, I've met people that I do deals with now, and have actually made some money, through those partnerships, and collaborations. And I've probably learned a ton, because the last 18 months, it's just been back-to-back events, that I've been going to.
You're a jet setter. Well, I mean, you're going to a lot of events. So tell us, what are some travel hacks to make it a little bit easier for people to come out to these things?
Yeah, first thing is, if you're sending mail using Pebble, is you could get credit card points. So, you know, so I've actually accumulated a ton of points. So like credit card points, and you can use that for booking flights, hotels. That's kind of like an easy one. And then also, depending on the card that you get, like if you get an Amex Gold or Amex Platinum, or if you bank with one of the big banks, they'll have travel cards. And if you have qualifying balances and stuff like that, you can get even more points. And sometimes those points can actually cover a majority of your travel expenses. And then, of course, to book flights and stuff, booking it early in advance is, I mean, I might be just preaching to the choir and this might be super basic, but using Google Flights and booking very early and booking with credit card points, like sometimes I've booked like $80 round trip tickets, round trip and nonstop, like nonstop flights. So, there's literally no other time, you know, if you tried to do this even like what 50 years ago or whatever, it would be so cost prohibitive to travel like this. But with things like Priceline for hotels and like, you know, Google Flights, there's no way you could go across the country and come back for $80.
Right.
You know, so, and then of course, if you're going to conferences, if you think you can go, just buy the early, like, you know, the pre-sale tickets and save money on the tickets and don't put it off to the end.
Awesome. Pete, I have to wrap up here, but is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners here that I might have missed out on?
Maybe I'll share my email.
Yeah, exactly. So how can people engage with you? You know, how can they look you up and how can people sort of engage with you?
Yeah, sure. So our company website is onceuponabrick.com. It doesn't have anything wholesale on there. It's just, you know, our Desert Square retail thing. But if you want to check out our business, that's where it's at. And our email is sales. That's my direct email, is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at onceuponabrick.com. And also, if you call the company number, you can talk to Mike, our sales director. So he works with a ton of other land investors, and he can be a wealth of knowledge as well.
You know, and I'll make sure to include that all in our show notes, but this whole once upon a brick, I'll probably have to save this story for another time. But if you guys ever get in touch with Pete, ask him about that story, because he has also a very interesting backstory with that name. But anyways, Pete, thank you so much. I am looking forward to being at the event that you guys are running. I certainly will be there. My co-founder, Kevin, will be there as well. I feel very dangerous behind a supercar, I'll admire them. But thanks again very much for being a part of the community and doing the things that you do and sharing the things that you share. I hope all you guys that are listening get to check out some of the things that Pete is doing, especially on the media front. I think you'll get a lot out of that. I know a lot of people actually emailed me or messaged me when we published that episode early on. So that must have been episodes either 63 or 66 about TikTok. Pete, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us what you're up to with your land business.
Thank you for having me, Jesse.
Before you stop this episode or hit the next episode, I want to personally thank you for listening to this episode of the Land Investing Business Secrets podcast by Pebble. If you found this helpful, we greatly appreciate any awesome reviews and ratings on whichever platform you are listening to this on. And if you have 2 minutes and wanted to step it up even more and help others, feel free to share this in other Facebook groups or pages or any communities, giving others a heads up of the Land Investing Business Secrets podcast or the specific episode that may help them on their land investing journey. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and catch you on our next episode.